She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, Episode 6, Birthright. And here to talk with you about it, as we are all the time, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis over there. That's the Audie Norman. Audie, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Getting used to cool weather, sticking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's winter here. We got our first major snow. And then, of course, after that, it kicks into like 40 degree weather for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in that weird limbo stage. But we've been off for a couple of weeks with the holiday in the U.S. of Thanksgiving, and you had some travel with family. It happens. But we're back. We're back to talk about The Raven. And I'm going to say up front, before we discuss the episode as a whole and then give our thoughts on it, it was a step up. We got a little bit better this week.
Sure.
I mean, not like a lot, but there's some, we'll get into it. But we had a returning familiar face as well. We'll talk about, which is kind of cool. An interesting way to go about it, but well, we'll get into more of that as we go. But first, I think what we should do probably is talk about the episode and what happened.
See if they care. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm gonna be all over your ass. Why, Frosty, are you coming on to me?
All right, so we open up with Amanda rappelling from the ceiling.
Thieving again.
Yep, she's back to her thieving ways. She's rappelling from the ceiling upside down, which I'll give Elizabeth Grayson some credit. That's not an easy thing to do. And
no.
For as long as the shots were, too. It wasn't like it was 2 seconds and then she was not, like, she was hanging there for a while. So, but Amanda is attempting to break into a case inside of some building. We don't know where it is quite yet. And she's being very, very careful. And then two guys just walk into the room and it's a pressure sensitive floor and all the alarms start going off. So Amanda's got to get away. So she starts rappelling back up using the cable and her winch or whatever she's got, connected in there. And the guys, they see her, I think, and one of them just grabs a chair and smashes the glass case. Just complete amateur way. Like, because you could tell Amanda was getting ready to, like, cut the glass and do everything where she didn't leave a trace, and this dude just, like, smashes the glass. They take stuff and run away because it apparently takes the security guard several minutes to get to wherever they are. Or something. I don't know. So, one guy gets away. The other guy, who is a familiar face, but playing a different character, we'll talk about him more, but it was Philip Aiken, is back. He just sort of stands there for a little bit before finally deciding to leave and run away. And he's shot at by the security guards because I guess the security guards think they're actual cops. I'm not sure. They didn't. They didn't even like tell him to stop. They just opened fire, which definitely made me laugh. But Amanda gets away, and then we see the character played by Philip Aiken running away from them, from the security guards before he jumps off the building and into the water. So Amanda goes back to her apartment. She's on the phone with Lucy. And trying to explain to her, like, look, everything's fine. Don't worry. You know, all of that kind of stuff. And there's a knock at the door, and she opens it up, and who's there? It's Nick.
Yeah, it's Nick.
It's like 6:30 in the morning, but he's already there because he apparently somehow knows that this... I'm very confused by Nick and what exactly is Nick, because he knows that something happened at this, it's an auction house is where this break-in was taking place, but he knows about it already, but he's not a cop anymore.
Right.
So either way, but he's there to confront Amanda and be like, look, you were there, right? And of course she's playing coy. She won't answer him. And just as he's getting ready to finally leave after they banter for a while, he's like, fine, whatever, you're on your own, da 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 da. And he walks to the door and opens it up, and who's there? The police.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to them in the interrogation rooms. And I liked the good cop, bad cop attempt by that dude to, like, make us think, or make Amanda think that Nick would turn on her. Like, nothing, nothing we've met, or nothing we have learned about this character tells us that in any way. Of course, she doesn't buy it. And then he just, when he goes to talk to Nick, Nick just, like, makes fun of him. They did not, they apparently did not get along. So, they end up leaving. Nick is still confronting her about it, trying to find out why she's there, what she was doing, why she's still stealing stuff. We get a flashback to a couple of freed slaves in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And they try to get onto a ship that's leaving because they've been given a deed to some land, and snooty shipboard dude, whoever he was supposed to be, just total a-hole to them, treating them like dirt because he's a white guy. And Amanda steps in and they have a little sword fight, which I thought was kind of fun because he's like, a gentleman never duels with a lady. And she's like, well, you're in luck.
Yeah.
And then proceeds to just mop the floor with him. Afterwards, saying that the two, who are Louise and Marcel, will be boarding the ship as her guests. And she takes them on the ship. So then we get a second flashback of a bunch of footage from the original Highlander series of Amanda stealing stuff for some reason. It was meant... Yeah. I know what they were kind of trying to go for, but it didn't land for me. I could think of like was... it was just reused footage.
Yeah, it's like, okay, let's pad this episode to remind people who... who Amanda is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait. We remember. That's why we're watching.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll discuss this a little bit more, but, so Amanda ends up getting annoyed with Nick and leaves, goes back home and has Basil come over. And I was happy to see Basil. Basil's great.
Me too.
And he shows up.
He's a fun little character.
Yeah. And he shows up and he's like, I've brought you this piece of crystal and this lamp and this painting and all this stuff for her. And she's like, yeah, I don't want any of that. And she just wanted him over there to find out about the manifest and the materials from that boat. It was what did they say? They said the name of it. Once or twice. I don't remember it now, but whatever it was, Basil's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she keeps on him. Until finally, by way of dropping the Tiffany lamp and breaking it, and then threatening to drop and break the Waterford crystal that he brought over, she gets him to call whomever it was that somehow is interested in this material as well.
The boat was the Maria Rose.
Maria Rose. That's what it was. Okay. So there's materials from the Maria Rose. And she wants something from it. So she gets the information. She goes to find the guy. Nick also finds out information in what I will say was a pretty clever way. Like he played the detective like a fiddle to get that, because he goes to the bar where the detective is there and the captain. And he's talking to the captain when the, you know, macho detective comes over and he's all blah, blah, blah. And he plays him like a fiddle. He's like, well, you know, I got info from the captain, and gets the name from the other dude of who he's got to go find. So they find him at a seedy motel, which we saw a little bit earlier, because the guy was there going through stuff that they took when our guy, Philip Aiken's character, who had jumped off the building and was presumed dead, magically left the morgue. Now, Nick, rightfully at this point, assumes that he's an immortal. Amanda swears up and down he's not an immortal. She didn't feel his presence, which is true. We didn't see her feeling his presence. But but sure enough, he's not in the morgue anymore. And then he shows up at the hotel where this guy, this partner of his, Riley Deldegan, it's a terrible name. Where Riley Deldegan is, and he threatens him that they need to go back and they need to get a specific thing. We don't know what that is yet. So when Amanda shows up at the motel to find Deldegan, Nick's already there. And while they're arguing, they hear a gunshot, because Simon, Philip Aiken's character, and Riley are struggling in the hotel room. Riley's taken off. He doesn't want anything to do with this anymore. And Simon is like, no, you will help me. Gunshots. They run in. They find Riley dead, shot in the stomach. And Simon nowhere to be found. He's gone. They still haven't even really seen him. So Amanda finds the thing that she was looking for when she was trying to break into the auction house, which was a medallion of some kind, this necklace that was given to her by Louise and Marcel.
Yeah.
As a form of thank you. And it had gone missing. We still don't know the full story of the Maria Rose and what happened with it. But she finds that. And then the cops show up. So she takes off. Nick sticks around. She goes back to her apartment, and Simon is there. But now he's shot, he's injured. How he found out where she lives, I don't know, but whatever, it doesn't really matter. We'll just hand wave that away for now. But he's there. He's definitely injured. Again, Amanda doesn't feel him when she walks in the apartment, so not an immortal. But what we find out is, no, he's not an immortal. He faked death through herbs, some herbs that can slow your heart rate down, and his ancestors would use that during their slaving days when they were slaves. His ancestors would use that as a way to get out of some of the beatings that they were taking. It was some medicinal magical herbs, basically. Again, hand wave, we're not going to even give them names, although I'm surprised they didn't just call it like the deadly nightshade. That's always the go-to. But he is descendant of Louise and Marcel, because their children got sold into slavery after the Maria Rose went down. So we find out that the ship went down, and Louise and Marcel were among those who died from that. All their possessions were left in the ship. And Amanda obviously survives, but Simon Clark is a descendant of theirs, and he was going after a deed that they had for that land that was rightfully his. That's what he was trying to steal before it got sold at auction, and it was going to go for a high price because it's signed by King George. So he convinces Amanda to help him steal it, and they go to steal it that night. He's still in rough shape, by the way. Nick sees them, follows them, confronts them on the roof, where Simon succumbs to his wounds and dies while explaining this to Nick. And Amanda explains it a little bit further, gives him a little bit more of the backstory. Nick is, of course, like, well, we can't do this. We can't steal, blah, blah, blah. Eventually acquiesces and says, all right, I'll help you. I did like, when will you learn to take yes for an answer? Pretty good. So they break in. They steal it. But while they're doing that, some blood from Simon drips through a skylight that he was laying on and hits the pressure-sensitive floor, setting off the alarm again.
Yeah.
They manage to get away and make it back to the apartment. And they're no sooner than in the apartment than they know the cops are coming. So they rush off and the cops just burst in because who needs a warrant for anything? And they find Amanda and Nick in the bathtub together.
Yeah.
And I love when they're walking in and Magnus, the captain's like, you better be right about this to the other guy. And, but they, and what was his name? Frost.
Yeah.
And they go in there and of course there's Nick and Amanda sitting in the bathtub, you know, sipping champagne, laughing. And Frost is like, whatever, he's fully clothed in there. Go ahead, stand up. And so they make Nick stand up and he's stark naked.
Yep.
He bet he, oh, that was the other thing, was he bet the captain $20 says he's fully clothed. So of course he stands up naked and the captain's like, look, you can pay me outside, and just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave, and then that's when Amanda stands up and she's still got her dress on. She had just pulled the straps down.
Yep.
Which I thought was really funny. And that's where it ends. It ends with they got the deed back. They're going to send it to Simon's kids because unfortunately Simon didn't make it. Yeah, Nick understood the reasoning behind Amanda trying to steal. Which I think was a message they were trying to get by. We can talk about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a complex episode at all, which was nice. It didn't try to be too convoluted. But it's got some drawbacks.
Yeah, it does.
Which I say we talk about what worked and what didn't work.
Sure. Let's get into that.
I only have one question. What is the story behind the tattoo on your butt?
All right. Because I think it's going to be the shorter list from you. I want to start with, what did you like about this episode?
What did I like? I mean, we have said it's a slight step up from last week. I think I did like that it was a little bit more of a streamlined story.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked how they used the flashbacks to reveal more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, they worked pretty good. There was so much hand waviness to get from one point to another. It was just like, okay. I do think they did well with the flashbacks.
Yeah, and the hand waviness, it's funny because there's plenty of that in Highlander, the series, too. Lots of hand waving stuff that goes on. But for some reason, I don't know why it feels more egregious here. And I think because I think you're right in that there's so much of it. Like, it's not like we're asked to make a leap of faith on like one thing in an episode that's about immortal beings and is basically a fantasy series, but it's three or four things, some of them in succession, or we're just not going to give you any information.
Right.
So that can be a
like the whole, how did Simon find Amanda's apartment and know her at all? We just totally hand wavy. Like, there are ways you could have set that up. But they didn't bother to.
It's like they wanted to, because at one point, I think Riley says to him, like, there's only a couple people in town that could pull this job off. But from what I understood, or I didn't get any indication that Riley Del Deegan knew who Amanda was, even though he saw her, let alone where she lived. So that's the biggest one, right? Like, I can forgive the magic herbs that slow your heart rate down.
Yeah, that one I was okay with.
Like, sure, I'm going to poke fun about it, but I can forgive that one because, again, fantasy series, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then for him to just show up at her apartment like that quickly, it was a little tough. That was a tougher pill to swallow. I liked having Phil Aiken back. Philip Aiken returning to the series and playing. He's playing a different character. He doesn't have a ton to do. And obviously we know him as Charlie DeSalvo.
Right.
Sadly, you know, Charlie, that character was killed off. We liked Charlie quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, while he was involved in a couple of the kind of worst episodes of Highlander, the character overall I liked. And I really liked Philip Aiken's portrayal of Charlie. And I liked that he wasn't just playing that same type of character here.
Yeah.
I do wonder, when you're recasting somebody like this, and you're doing Highlander the Raven, and you bring back this character, you bring back an actor who has played a specific character in multiple episodes, do you think we won't notice? Like the reason I'm really curious about that is the people watching this show are watching this show because they know Highlander. So it's not like you have this broader appeal or something of that nature. You know, you don't bring back the guy that played Marcel, not Marcel. What the hell was his name? The neighbor in France.
Was it Maurice?
Maurice. I don't know why Marcel. Maurice. Like, you don't bring him back as another character because people are going to know. They're just going to be like, it's Maurice. So, unfortunately, it was hard for me to not see Charlie at first.
Yeah.
I will, again, he doesn't play him as the same type of character, which is nice.
Yeah. It's also funny that they brought him back to play with, is he or is he not immortal? And it's like.
That is true. That is actually pretty funny because.
That was a funny little thread that I don't think they played off well enough. Like,
I wonder.
As Amanda's not feeling him, it's like. He's not immortal. Like, we have the concrete evidence.
Sure.
I'm sorry nobody else does, but okay.
I wonder if that was intentional or not. Like, if they even realized what they were doing
with that.
It's hard to say.
I'm going to guess not.
I mean, probably not.
I think it's just happenstance.
They were just like, hey, Phil, you want to come back to the Highlander world? But you killed off Charlie. Yeah, that's fine. You'll play somebody else. No one will notice.
Okay, one other thing I really liked about this episode was the tub bit at the end of it. Because that was in the first episode and how Nick came into Amanda's apartment in the first episode trying to
get her and
pin her on that first robbery and stuff. So
that
the
was
fact
good.
That they did that bit again.
The fact that they did that bit and you could see it coming too. Like as soon as they're like, all right, they're in the stairwell and they take off for the back of the apartment. I'm like, oh. All right, so the cops are going to come in and try to find, you know, try to catch them with a gotcha, and they'll be. I didn't know exactly what they would be doing until the bathroom door opened, but I knew like something was going to happen. And then when it opened up, I had that same thought. I'm like, oh, this is a nice little throwback to when Nick came in on Amanda.
Part of me wants to see that conversation happen between the two of them. It's like, so is this a go-to for you? Do you just keep the tub drawn when you leave? Just in case.
They got a lot of water in that tub real quickly. But I did like that. And of course, it did lead to the funny line at the end of like, what's with the tattoo on your butt? I liked Nick messing with the cops in this one.
Yeah.
That was his best work in here. It's still... I'm quite certain that Paul Johansson has gotten a lot better since this series. I don't think this is some of his first work, but it feels very early in his career to me. And there are times he still feels a little stiff, but there was something go ahead.
Him against the cops just felt like really good acting, really like all of those people were doing good job and seemed to be having fun with it. Him versus the pimp was some of the worst stuff I've seen by far in this entire series. And that's saying a lot for what we've seen so far.
And he was not great in that scene, but the actor, and I'm using giant air quotes for the actor that was playing, I think it was Jake. He was bad.
Sure.
He was real bad. And we didn't need that scene necessarily because it feels like just Nick getting the name from the cops was enough. And now that scene I loved. I loved that scene because he comes in to the bar, the captain's eating his burger, and he basically just tells him, like, go away, let me eat my burger in peace. And Nick's talking to him, and then the Frost comes over, all, you know, big and bad. And I did like the moment where he puts his gun and his badge down on the bar, and he says, well, I'm not a cop right now. You want to dance? And Nick's like, no. And he goes to walk away, and he stops him. So he just hits him, I can assume below the belt, and leaves. Like, honestly, what did you think was going to happen here, Frost? Like,
right.
But that whole scene I actually very much liked. I thought that was just, you know, it's cheesy and it's very tropey, but I'm fine with that. Like, didn't matter because it still felt pretty good. And then we get in with that pimp, and it was like, oh god,
yeah, oh,
this guy. Like, they, you can tell they gave that guy about 5 minutes to get ready for his role, and then they ADR'd half the stuff he said. The ADR line of,
right,
there was a real bad one because you could see exactly what his, he said Nick, but his mouth did not move the word Nick at all. So yeah, that was a thing. I'm with you in that I liked the flashback stuff to the Bahamas and the backstory. I do kind of wish that there had been more of that.
Yeah, especially the last one when Amanda's with Louise as she's dying. Like, I feel like we got shortchanged in the actual shipwreck and what happened.
Yeah, sort of the fallout
of
that.
And not in a hand-wavy way, in just a, we don't have time to show you everything. It's like, yeah, I feel like we need a little bit more just to punch how important this particular voyage was for Amanda.
Well, I think what I'm noticing through the first six episodes of this series, and we'll see how it continues, is they want to tell the story of two characters in this show. They want to tell Amanda's story, and they want to tell Nick's story. And the problem that they're having is that there's not enough time to balance both of those and give either one enough oomph for it to matter. Like, one of the strengths of Highlander, that series, was that the story always centered around a character in an episode.
Yeah.
And whether it was a Richie heavy episode or a Duncan heavy episode or Charlie was a big part of it, whatever it was, they seemed to know how to balance that out and make the story focus around that person and have everyone else be the supporting characters. And here it's like they can't decide what they want to do, and so they're trying to shoehorn a little bit too much in. Like I mentioned, this was a simpler episode.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is a simpler episode, but they have to do so much with Nick getting information from the cops and dealing with the pimp to get to the hotel to find out all this stuff, that we sacrifice some of the time that would be given to Amanda's story and by extension Simon's story, the Philip Aiken character. One of my notes was like, I want to know more about his story. How did he get to this point? How did he find any of this information out? Because that to me is interesting.
Right.
So it's hard to balance those two characters. It would be as if we were trying to run an A plot, B plot of Duncan and Richie at the same time, but they're not on the same, they're going in the same direction, but not on the same path. And then we're trying to converge that. They never really did that in Highlander. Like it just felt like a more focused show. So plus also wasting whatever it was, 30, 45 seconds a minute on giving us a montage of footage from the old series of Amanda just stealing stuff.
Yeah.
That time could have been spent on some other story development or something. It just, that felt like you mentioned, you nailed it. Padding. We got to pad this out so we don't have to, and we've got all this footage we can use.
We can't figure out something Amanda can slyly and quippy say to Nick about why she's still thieving.
Yeah.
So let's just show all the ways she was thieving before. Okay.
Yeah, which doesn't tell us anything at all.
Yeah.
And if you're if you're doing this under the assumption that people are watching the show for the first time with no background, that still doesn't help anything because it's just images of her stealing stuff, but no reason why.
Yeah, no context at all.
Yeah.
Which isn't helpful.
It just doesn't work. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, the character of Jake, I think, is who it is. Because there's only 11 cast credits in this episode. Mm-hmm. Jake is the pimp. He was terrible. The ship's officer was way over the top, but it kind of needed to be.
Yeah.
So I get that. Just like I want Simon's story, I want more story about Louise and Marcel. I want to know kind of what was happening with them. Because we get that passing mention that they have kids, and then we find out, oh, their kids got sold into slavery after they were orphaned.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just like, again, it was just too much, too many threads started and not followed through with.
Right.
I could have streamlined that. But, like I said earlier, it was great to see Philip Aiken. It was nice to see the character of Basil come back. I wish he could be. I think this was his only other episode. We'll find out. But if it is, it's kind of a bummer because that's another thing you need. Like, you really need the stories to focus around Nick and Amanda together, which I know we've been dancing around it, but hopefully that'll kind of streamline is what I'm hoping for. But it needs to be that and then have some recurring characters. And Basil would be a great recurring character to have. Because it's one thing. It's something that this series is missing from what got good in Highlander from like the middle of season 2 until the end of 5 was you had Duncan. And then you can mix and match the supporting characters around Duncan, whether it was Richie, whether it was Charlie, whether it was the doctor lady, whether Joe, and then bringing in, you know, having Amanda pop in, having Mythos pop in.
Right.
And balancing that all out, but it was always a focused story and then your extra characters. So you can get away with that if you keep using these characters. But if you have a character like Basil and then you just dump him and he doesn't come back. And again, a great character to have for Amanda to have around because he's a fence.
For sure.
Like it makes total sense. If she's a thief and he's a fence, they would have a relationship and he should be around. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's how they worked out. I mean, Charlie worked out as a character because he ran the dojo that Duncan bought. Right. And there was a reason for them to be next to each other. Or Maurice being the neighbor on his barge. Like, that's what you need. And I think that's something that I'm hoping. I'm not holding my breath that it's going to get better. But
right.
The chemistry between Grayson and Johansson was, again, not spectacular here. But I think some of that comes down to this is early in Johansson's career. He had been acting for credited about 9 years at this point in various things. But a lot of, episode of a TV series here, that kind of stuff. So he was still, I mean, it's 1998 when they start this. It's still pretty young, still pretty early in his career. So I think that coupled with kind of if there was tension on the set, it makes his performance a little tougher. But he seems to be getting better as the episodes go along.
Yeah, I'd agree.
It's just kind of stitching those two things. So, I mean, like I said, step up from last week. This was much more watchable.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll stay optimistic about it. I didn't. There was enough in this episode to keep me at least entertained. I wasn't like completely lost, looking at other things or like waiting for the episode to get done. It was paced fairly well. So we'll kind of see how that goes moving forward. But you know. It's not too bad. What do we got next week? Next week is one called Crime and Punishment.
Ooh.
Let's see. a baseball prospect who was convicted of murdering his manager is out of prison, and he is targeting the people responsible for putting him there, including Nick, who was the lead detective on the case. All right. Well, Lucy is back, so that's good. And I don't recognize anyone else, so I guess we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I guess we will.
You know, we do this show because we are completionist and slightly masochistic, but I've seen worse.
Oh yeah.
So if it wasn't for Elizabeth Grayson, I don't know if I could make it through this show though. She's so great as Amanda, and she's having a lot of fun playing Amanda. So that's what's the next episode is episode 7, Crime and Punishment. We do record this show live if you ever want to come hang out in our live chat and see what's going on. And we do that on now Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, twitch.tv/TVsTravis. So you can come hang out with Audie and I here. The show comes out as podcast everywhere you get your podcast. Check it out. I did see our Spotify Wrapped. We had a lot of growth this year. Over last year, and I think that's really cool. So we thank you anyone who listens.
Absolutely,
and it's wonderful. We do it for you, we do have fun doing this show. Like, as much as we can complain about these episodes, it's still fun to sit down and talk about them, and see where the Highlander mythos can go. So.
Yeah.
Check that out anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google's getting rid of podcasts. Your favorite podcatcher.
Yeah.
You can find the feed at tvstravis.com. There's a whole section there where you can find the episodes. Leaving ratings and reviews on your platform of choice, always helpful. We appreciate those a lot. We talked, I think, not that long ago that... after the strike ended, we heard the actor strike and everything. We heard that things are going to start ramping up on the Highlander remake or reboot.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be cool. I think we talked about that, right? They're going to use. They're talking about using some of the Queen music.
Yeah.
And Stahelski, Chad Stahelski, is still on board and getting ready to do
still
it. So
wanting to do it. So come on, Chad, let's go.
Let's get that done. It's exciting. We're going to have to do a special episode. For all the people that do have the feed when it goes dormant after this series, just to watch that movie. But and I'm on all the social medias as TV's Travis, whether you like to use Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, X/Twitter, even Mastodon, I'm over there. YouTube, all sorts of places. You can find me. I love to talk about Highlander, but also all sorts of other pop culture, movies, TV, music, all that kind of stuff. That's me, TV's Travis everywhere. And Audie, they can find you as?
The Audie Norman.
Excellent. We also do a show together called Those Were the Days with our friends Stephen and Amy.
Yep.
This most recent episode of that, we watched Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, and it was, it was magical. It was so good.
It was.
And we're going to be watching some Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas soon, because we're in holiday season and it's fun, fun, fun. So if you like classic TV, that's usually better than Highlander the Raven, come check us out on Those Were the Days.
Yeah.
But we love to talk about all that kind of stuff. A quick Highlander connection. I knew this, but I always forget it, is Gregory Wyden, who wrote the original screenplay for Highlander. He's credited as the writer of the first Highlander movie. He created the character. It was his thesis at USC film school or whatever it was, like one of his final projects.
Right.
He also wrote and directed The Prophecy with Christopher Walken. And he wrote Backdraft.
Huh.
Which is... not fantasy related at all, but I like the movie. And I always forget that Greg Wyden wrote Backdraft.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a fun thing to tell some people about, because, of course, Highlander related, I gotta be the one to talk about it on certain platforms.
Oh, sure.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, also check out Audie's Instagram, by the way, all of you, if you're not on there, because his artwork is awesome. And commission him for something.
Sure. Holidays are coming.
Yeah. You want those commissions. The art, by the way, for Emmett Otters was perfect. I loved that so much.
Yeah.
That was fun. The fact that you made me with the jug and that character, too. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, this guy gets me. So it was wonderful. I cannot wait to see us whoified.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be great. So yeah, come on back next week for episode 7, Crime and Punishment. We're going to keep talking about this show until we get through all 22 episodes. We got to do it. You're along for the ride.
Yep.
We're not doing this alone, damn it.
No.
So yeah, come back for that next week. And just remember that Nick was naked in that tub while Amanda was not.
Gosh, I hope that water was warm enough.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.